Welcome to Innovation. I'm Jackie Hendry, filling in today for Kara Hetland. The new Avera Addiction Care Center in Sioux Falls is a voluntary 28-day treatment center that offers a variety of treatments for alcohol and drug addiction. The facility centers holistic healing and a sense of community among its residents. Dr. Matthew Stanley is the VP of Avera Behavioral Health Clinical Service Line, and he's with me here in the Kirby Family Studio in our Sioux Falls studio. Dr. Stanley, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me. I always enjoy discussing these issues, as you know.
Well, good. And so I want to start off because, of course, we know in the national headlines the opioid crisis, and then more recently with Governor Noem's campaign against meth in South Dakota. I wonder if you can kind of outline for us to start with the need for a facility like this in South Dakota.
Well, I think you just touched on something that we're all becoming more aware of. It feels like there's a national consciousness that's rising in terms of, I would like to say behavioral health in the broader sense, but addictions is a very important component of that. And so many times we just see both the behavioral health issues, whether it's depression or anxiety, co-occurring with the addictions. But however you want to parse it, it is an incredibly detrimental health condition in our society. And the thing I think that's saddening or concerning is we're actually seeing numbers rise in many of these. You talked about meth, and I think here in South Dakota, we do see more meth cases than if you look at the eastern part of the United States or maybe the West Coast. The opioids have overwhelmed the health system, have overwhelmed the population, and the number of deaths being reported is tremendously high. We don't see as many deaths associated with the meth, but we do see a lot of criminal activity, a lot of lives and families destroyed through other means. And then that doesn't even touch on the fact that alcohol is still ubiquitous in our society. Marijuana is increasingly utilized. And even nicotine. It's amazing how many lives nicotine takes in terms of an addiction. And yet in the face of all these other dangerous and critical addictions, it's almost become passé to discuss nicotine addiction.
Mm-hmm. So when we look at addiction as a health issue or a healthcare issue, something I've heard said in the past is that this facility with Avera is showing that Avera is taking steps to acknowledge addiction as a disease and treat it as a disease. How is that different than how the healthcare industry has looked at addiction in the past?
Well, I think if you look at not just the healthcare industry, but our entire society, we've kind of separated out behavioral health, but even more so addictions from our healthcare systems. There aren't that many healthcare systems in the United States that actually have an inpatient chemical dependency component, even those that have behavioral health. Now, you can never truly separate behavioral health and addictions because in our behavioral health facility, somewhere around 40 to 60% of those patients also come in with an addiction. It's very common. But we have really created this dichotomous system of care where you go and see your primary care doc if you want to discuss any other health issue. But if you have an addiction, the conversation kind of stops there and they say, hey, I'll give you a referral. You need to go actually very often outside of the healthcare system. We're going to send you out of town or to a different facility that doesn't have any connectivity to your healthcare in general. There's just no other illness really that we're treating that way. So it's, I think we're now seeing the ramifications of that system that was, you know, developed. I don't know that it was developed intentionally that way, but we're now seeing the impact on society because we haven't treated our addictions and our behavioral health care with the same focus and intensity that we've, you know, tried to advance the rest of healthcare and care for society in general.
Right. So with this new facility in Sioux Falls based on this 28-day model, I wonder if you can talk to us a bit about why that particular model is kind of the go-to when we're looking at addiction care.
Well, there's actually multiple levels of care. And so what you just described as the inpatient residential is one of the highest levels of care. And 28 days is kind of based off historical models. We can't even really say there's anything magical about 28 days. Some people actually need longer. Some people might do well with shorter. But I think that level of care is reserved for people that just have failed in other attempts to be able to manage their addiction or be able to begin recovery. I think one of the things that 28 days does, it allows you to step away from all the other stressors, all the other distractions, all the other triggers that have made it difficult for you to recover, and to really focus on yourself and to learn more about yourself in a healthy and clean environment of full support. One of the things we're doing, obviously, as part of the Avera Health System, is we're really looking at those medical components of the disease. We're doing genetic testing to look at what medications might be the most helpful. We're definitely embracing the idea that medications can be used to treat addictions. We're also very much embracing the co-occurring disorders. So we need to identify and treat the anxiety, the past trauma, the depression, all the other components that are feeding into the addiction. So I think over those 28 days, you have an opportunity to work with somebody to really understand them, and they get to really understand themselves in a way that you could never or would be very difficult to do even over an extended outpatient treatment, even in an intense outpatient program where you were meeting several times a week. So I think that continuity, that ability to work with the patient day after day to explore different components of their addiction and of their illness, really reaps benefits and understanding that you can't reach in any other way. It's not a level of care that's required for everyone, but we're very proud and very happy to have added it to our spectrum of care.
Right. And a few weeks ago, I was able to visit this new center and kind of take a tour, take a look around. There's a lot of open space. I know once the weather's a little warmer, there will be some outdoor areas for residents to kind of congregate, open dining centers, things like this. Talk a little bit about maybe if you want to call it the strategy of creating a space like that and kind of encouraging residents not only to reflect on themselves, but to interact with each other.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up just the design of the facility, because a lot of thought went into that. And first of all, I think the design of that facility says just by the environment itself, how nice it is, how I think warm and inviting it is, the facility says we respect you. You have an illness. You're here to be well. I think it's just as important we built our behavioral health facility the same way. You know, so often you see these facilities in old buildings or the oldest wing of the hospital just kind of tucked away. We're putting it out there. We're saying you deserve the same commitment to excellence as any other area of our healthcare system. But I think you also are alluding to kind of the peer support, the societal component of recovery. One of the things that's difficult in recovering and staying well with an addiction is it's often social interactions that will trigger your need to use. If you think about it, if you've been using over the course of your lifetime, getting together with people, going out, usually involves the use of the substance you're addicted to. And so part of recovering is addressing those triggers and just, I think, reconditioning yourself to realize I can sit down and have a conversation with people around a outdoor fire, and I don't have to drink. I don't have to light up. I'm capable of doing this, and I'm enjoying it. It's just as enjoyable in this way. The other thing is, you know, recovery, I think the, you know, whether it's AA or NA or Smart Recovery, any of these peer recovery programs have had tremendous success. And we also see that in our behavioral health facility and in our groups, supporting each other, that idea that you understand, are compassionate, and really want to support. It's part of what I think we all as human beings respond so well to. And I don't know that there's any other way to really address some of those issues that you struggle with in addiction, that ability to socialize, that ability to identify triggers, and then that ability to let go of the shame and the guilt that have developed over years of use. So people affirming you, understanding you, having walked the same journey you've walked, I think that's a very critical component.
My guest is Dr. Matthew Stanley with Avera Behavioral Health, talking about the new Avera Addiction Care Center in Sioux Falls. And Dr. Stanley, on that kind of line of that peer support, I know we've talked a little bit in the past about then after that 28 days or that stay at the center, what supports then exist for residents once they leave the center?
Yeah, it's a critical point because 28 days is a pretty long period of time to go into treatment, but it is really just getting on the path. It's the beginning of the journey. 28 days, in fact, is rarely the end of the treatment, and if it is, too often it ends in failure. The biggest relapse rate, up to 60% of people will relapse within the first month of discharge. So we have to look at supporting over a longer term. And if you look at the statistics of recovery, if you get out to about a year of abstinence or relatively strong recovery, your odds go up remarkably. The statistics of remaining in recovery go up much higher at that point. So that's really the time frame we're aiming for. So several components that we are building into our recovery program. One is that the counselors at our health center will stay in touch with you throughout the next 11 months. We have an app that is part of our electronic health record. So we can send messages that are confidential. We can send out assignments. We can continue to screen people when they're out there, hopefully able to pick up signs that they're maybe struggling, maybe even things they're not totally aware of yet. We intend to keep the community together, so some of the people you recovered with will continue to be in touch with you and support you. Oftentimes it's that idea, almost that boot camp mentality, we went through this together, I'm not going to let you down. So I think it's important to keep those relationships, as long as they're positive and strengthening, keep those going. We obviously want to use community resources as well, so we'll be referring people into their peer support in the community and having local counseling as well. And then we want to engage the family because, again, it's so much of what's important about recovering is being able to restructure your environment to be supportive. One of the hardest things, and I think it's even harder in South Dakota because we have a lot of small communities, but if you go back to the same social group that you used with and nothing else has changed, it's almost impossible to remain sober or abstinent. So you either have to change those relationships or you have to strengthen them and you have to work within that group for it to be more supportive. Families are, for most of us, kind of the ultimate support group. And so we want to educate families. Families are also hurting. They're kind of both maybe the, you know, we talk a bit about enablers, which I'm not a fan of that term, by the way, but but they're also victims. So you can see it either way. You know, I grew up in a family with, I love my dad, he's a wonderful man, but he had an addiction. And, you know, you deal with it so long, you don't even realize it's not normal. So you have to work with the families too, in part to help the patient themselves stay well, but also to break that cycle of addiction that we see. So that will be another component we'll spend a great deal of investment in, is helping the family to help themselves, but also to help the person in recovery.
Right. So I believe, if I remember right, the facility started accepting residents just a few days ago, this week even?
On the 11th, yeah.
On the 11th.
We're a couple days.
Right.
A couple days in now.
So if someone is listening to this, they think it might be a good option for them or for a loved one, how are individuals able to take advantage of this new facility in Sioux Falls?
Well, there's several ways. So you can, you know, I'm going to be embarrassed to admit this. We're so new, I can't even tell you the phone number to call, but you can call.
We can put that online.
Okay. You can call, you know, the Avera McKinnon, and you'll be redirected by the operator there. You can always talk to your primary care doc. I think we're on pretty much every insurance that covers lives in South Dakota so that you can talk through your insurance. And I now have that number in front of me, 605-504-2222.
All right, there you go. My guest has been Dr. Matthew Stanley with Avera Behavioral Health talking about the newly open Avera Addiction Care Center in Sioux Falls. Dr. Stanley, always a treat getting to chat with you. Thanks so much for coming in today.
And once again, thank you.